Shall we talk about the corn market? I think we should. Let's do it. We'll get started. Time to talk about corn market. We'll do it the same way we did this morning. We'll give them each a little bit of time. Mike Zuzulo is with us. Mike is with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. I'm going to have some help here. Paul Cooley is with us from ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Next to him, Jackie Vakes at Stewart Peterson Group. And you'll have to forgive me because there's one here that I just don't recognize, but I know they're from the Andersons at Climbers, actually. Ken Smith. Oh, I talked to you on occasion. He fills in on occasion when somebody's gone on any day for the cash grain market. Ken fills in from on occasion from Climbers in Indiana at the Andersons. Thanks for coming. I haven't met you before, but I appreciate seeing you. And finally, we round things out with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities. And so what we'll do is we'll start, Pete, with you this morning or this afternoon. Give your quick assessment of what's been happening in the corn market and where you think things might be headed. And after all of you have taken your stab at it, we'll ask some questions.
Well, we made new highs yesterday. We backed off of them today. Last week we made new highs. We backed off of them, made new highs the following week. We've continued to do this for about, since August? Go up a little bit, back up, go up a little bit. We've continued to make new all-time highs. If you look at the Bates thing in there, it shows $6 as the first inflationary goal. It shows where crude oil went to the 100 and made it. Corn's next one is $12. Kurt this morning shocked people with 40 on beans. But that's according to investment people that are looking at something that still has value. We think we're fishing for a nearby top. We don't think there's much weather in the market yet. We think you should be looking at protecting what you haven't got sold with puts. If we have old crop left, we're looking to finish off those sales from now through July at these prices. We don't really know when the high will be or what it's going to be. Maybe Paul will know that for us. But we don't think we've seen the highs for the year, but we do think we should be protecting these prices. We'd be 30 to 40% sold. We'd be half sold by the acreage reporting date at the end of March on next year's crop. Or we would have, if we haven't got it sold, we would be protected with puts.
Ken Smith?
All right. A couple things that I'm thinking about. What acreage are we going to plant next year? And certainly we've seen a lot of different numbers. Just from the people that I talk to, producers in our area, in good corn-producing area, I think we're still seeing a shift to beans. Maybe it's only 10 to 15% range, but I'm struggling. Are we really going to get 90 million acres of corn planted? I don't think so. That's going to add to a lot of volatility. I come from an ethanol plant. We still have relatively good margins in ethanol, and I still think prices would need to go higher before you shut down ethanol production in the U.S. So with that kind of volatility, I think the path of least resistance is higher in the corn market, a similar story to probably what we've seen in the soybean market. So right now, I think we're in a time where you really have to exercise caution. If the right dynamics unfold, we could be significantly higher prices. There again, we talk about safe selling, using puts, using crop insurance. And I know Larry talked a little bit about, is a strategy today to take crop insurance, get that put underneath of you, and then see what happens to the market. Is that a better way to market grain in a year like this when we have such significant upside potential? So certainly caution, safe selling is things that I'm talking to my customers about. Certainly see extreme volatility. We know the story of the, world demand. How will we respond to acreage in the U.S. and specifically in corn? I guess I'm concerned, are we going to get the acres that we really need?
That's Ken Smith. He's at Logansport with the Andersons, called Climbers, I believe. Is that all correct? Good. Jackie Vakes is next to him, right there in dead center from Stewart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Indiana. Hi, Jackie.
How lucky am I to sit between four good-looking guys? This is pretty darn nice, I'll tell you. I'm enjoying this a lot.
Careful, Cooley.
I'm going to echo.
Did I say that out loud?
I'm going to echo some of the same things that everybody said. I really have a question as to whether we're going to get the Corn Acres also. And when you look at the board, you know, the board tells you a lot. We have an inverse market there in terms of the fact that July is carrying a premium to December. It says to me that they're still very concerned about hanging on to the current corn that we know we have, and they're not going to encourage you to hold it. They want you to sell it, basically. And so I think, you know, patience on sales has been a good thing this year. Value is something that we perceive. I mean, we perceived $4 was good. We perceived $5 was good. Now, you know, we continue to wait for that. And I guess the thing that I'd caution, and it's so easy for us to forget about, is, you know, none of us ever forgot September 11th of 2001 and what it did to our marketplace. And so I think using puts is a very prudent thing to do to protect a price where you know you've got money made. You have all your investments and inputs already. And the U.S. dollar went down. Todd didn't do the closing market today, but shortly before the close, we were down 20 on corn, basically lock limit. And we did rally back to about 10 to 13 down. Beans were lock limit down going into the close, finished down about 47 to 49. And if you looked at all the markets, everything was down today. Livestock was down. Metals were down. Currency was down. You know, you just go straight across the board. That's not a normal situation. And I think you have to be very careful about what your perception is of the market. Because we saw a move like today doesn't mean everything's over. I anticipate we're going to see higher highs coming yet, and for a couple reasons. With the U.S. dollar being down, I think extra demand is not going to quit. But my biggest thing in terms of cautioning you this year, and I've been telling this to clients for months, you better make sure whoever you're selling grain to is really financially fit. We've just recently had situations across the U.S. where people locked in feed costs, people sold things, and those places have gone bankrupt. Now, you're pretty fortunate where you are because you have a lot of very good, big, reputable places. But if you're selling to individuals, you really need to know. This is a lot of money that you're dealing with. And so I think you have to err on the side of caution. But I wouldn't go out and sell in cash right now. I'd be doing puts.
Thank you much, Jackie. By the way, if somebody in the audience, and maybe a couple of you are there, might know crop insurance state law in Illinois and Indiana and want to update us on how that, if an elevator were to happen to go under, how that pays out, right. You might let us know and maybe you can talk about it if you feel like you can do that. I think in Illinois we have a crop insurance law, and I don't recall, frankly, in Indiana or whether we have a crop insurance. Larry can come up maybe and talk to us about that after we get done here. I'll let you do that. So next to him, or next to Jackie, is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. You can hear Paul on the air on Wednesdays. Thanks for coming, Paul. You've been here every year since, I want to say we started in 1990. Since what? Since Moses? It was actually Cooley who put the staff out. All right, Paul. What's your thought about the marketplace?
Okay, hey, thanks. It's a real pleasure to be here in WILL annual commodity outlook meeting in the Beef House Restaurant in Covington, Indiana. I want to say a special hello to my ADM family in the back of the room there. Wave, Kathy, Dan, and everything. And I have to laugh. You know, Dan and I didn't always agree until he started working for ADM, and then we agree 100% of the time. And then my other pal, Brad Tucker, who retired from me when he was just a young man, but we love him to death. Hi, Brad. You know, Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of England, made this statement, and I thought it was very appropriate, when he said, "Never have so many owed so few so very much." And he was referring to the Royal Air Force, but you people sent a lot of money to Chicago one way or the other. So the funds, you owe the funds, and they're taking the money away from you. The other one I wanted to share with you is this morning, Larry Wood reminded me of the minister that trades with us in our Oakland commodity office, and he went to the seminary, and I said, "How do you preach? How do they teach you to preach for a funeral?" And he says, "Well, it's simple. You said you get all the family crying, and then you stop preaching because, you know," he says, "it's ready to put the old guy to bed, you know." So, Larry, you got everybody crying this morning pretty good, so it reminded me of that story. You know, one of the things that I had 10 or 15 people come up to me and say, "What do you think about land prices?" And I'm a little more bullish than Dan Bassey. I think we are, it was a little slow at taking off, but I think we are going to see some better prices. The other thing that I wanted to mention to you is I don't think the Chicago Mercantile Exchange or the Chicago Board of Trade are going to change the status of commodity funds. They're still going to give them the idea of trading like a grain company or an industrial account. So that's off the table. And the second one is I'm a little more proactive about the government. I think there's going to be some cries from senators and some of the poultry states and some of the ethanol people that we are going to see more than just a little pasture ground put out or a little bale of hay on the CRP acres. I think the door is still open for that. And I really feel that the new Secretary of Agriculture is going to get a wake-up call sometime after they do get a new farm bill. And if it isn't a farm bill, it's the old 1949 farm bill, as I understand it, the year. The other thing that I want to pick on here just a little bit is that the reason why I think it's necessary is that we have such a some very good industries in the country, like the poultry and pork and beef industry, and also the ethanol people, that, you know, if we do get corn up to $6 to $8 a bushel, and beans $15 to $20 a bushel, it's not going to be very kind, and we do want to keep those people still very much alive. And we're not going to flood the market with these acres, but just let a few of them come out into the open marketplace. The other one, and I'm going to stop on this one, is that I hear the word peak production, you know, particularly from my old pal T-Bone Pickens on the CNBC. You know, we are very close to that in energy. And I don't think it would be wise for anybody to pick on ethanol, because I don't ever remember when I drive over the big bridge in Peoria, Illinois, ever seeing an aircraft carrier there or a battleship or a submarine or anything else. And anybody that beats up on ethanol, I think, are beating up on the wrong industry. And I'll pass the mic.
For those of you who don't know, when you come across the bridge in Peoria, what you can see off to the left-hand side is an ADM ethanol production facility. And what he means is it is not guarded, of course, by a large battle carrier group of some sort. Risk Management Commodities is represented today by Mike Zuzulo.
Pleasure to be here, everybody. Thank you for coming. What another great turnout. Well, got a quote from Paul's Winston Churchill's drinking buddy, Franklin Roosevelt. He said, what was it, 77 years ago today, nothing to fear but fear itself. And I feel kind of like that right now, because after hearing these other four highly esteemed people, I feel just a little bit more bearish, and I feel kind of bad about that. So I hope you hold your lunches down. Ever since last August, we've kind of been on this track. We felt that if the prices of corn and beans and wheat were going to go higher after March, it was going to be more weather and supply, less demand-led. In corn, we feel especially that way, and more so than ever at this stage, especially if we get a 12.6 billion bushel crop produced. We do think demand is getting hit. We also feel like that if you don't have a big break or a big surge in wheat after the dormancy breaks, or you don't have those corn planting delays that we are a little bit nervous about, if you don't have anything like that happen, once we get the planters rolling and we get the corn in the ground, we are concerned that the highs will be in for the year. Obviously, China and weather will be the two keys that we'll have to watch after that. But like a lot of the panelists here already, we like the puts and buying puts in that respect in case there are weather and supply problems. I think the other thing that I found out from a good crop insurance agency that we work with over in eastern Indiana, western Ohio, is if you're an RA and CRC person, please look at that prevented planting number, because if you don't get the crop in the ground, you usually default back to like a 60% prevented planting, and that's really what your coverage is 60%, regardless whether you take an 80 or 85% policy. Your crop insurance policy, if I'm being told right, and we've got Wayne and Todd and a lot of others around here that know a heck of a lot more than me, but if I'm being told right, that policy that you take out really doesn't take effect until you get that seed in the ground. And so that's something to look at. I say that especially for the Illinois guys because, unlike last year, they seem to be the people that want to push the envelope on making hard sales right now before the planters roll. So please take a look at that and get more into the details and dot the I's and cross the T's.
We'll have Gary Schnitke take some of that up probably in his presentation, which is the last one for the day. And after we're done with the corn, let's come back to you, Mike, just because you felt like you were feeling a little bearish. Give me a number for corn that would make a 12-6 crop in acres. What would it be?
I think initially, and this is where you kind of cut the short term, and we're going to stick with short term right now, Todd. If you've broken a major trend line in crude oil today on a closing basis, or at least you probably have in April crude, you're testing a major trend line in March corn right now. If you have what we're talking about here fundamentally combine itself with some of these technicals that a lot of the fund and speculative market look at, I think a 12 to 20% correction would be very possible, and that would mean March corn, we peaked out, we went to our swing objective of 560, 20% break would be about 480 on March corn. So that would be a shorter term, maybe 60, 90-day window here, you know, thinking, okay, by May, if we know we got the corn in the ground, lead month futures could be back below 5 a little bit.
That was my third question, but my last question was how many acres to raise a 12.6 billion bushel crop?
Oh, I'm sorry, 87 million, and we're using a 157 yield. And unlike USDA, we're not giving a 13 billion bushel demand number. We're backing our demand back down to 12.5 billion.
That was my next question, because in order to meet demand, right?
I'm psychic.
Well, he's 1, 2, and 3, but we'll get through the rest of you momentarily, okay? But in order to meet demand, as I talked with Darrell Good yesterday, and he's saying on the air right now probably, what time is it? He's on air during the closing market report. In order to meet demand as predicted, he's thinking 92 to 93 million acres would have to be put into the ground. But you're bearish at
87 and a 157 yield. Yeah.
On a 157 yield, and Darrell, I know, was down at just above trend yield, 152 or 3, something
like that. The things like the hog-corn ratio, you know, we're at the lowest levels since 2002 in the hog-corn ratio and close to 1998 levels. So we think our livestock market's getting hit pretty hard right now.
Okay, so everybody else, why don't you take a stab at this? Who wants to, Cooley, you want to take a stab at numbers?
Yeah, let me point the pencil a little different direction in the word demand. You use that several times and some quoted Darrell. I think demand on corn is probably overstated by 1 to 200 million bushels, and ethanol has been a wonderful deal, but the government has penciled in too much usage in that. And I think that as these prices of corn go higher, I think that they will slow that down just a little bit. Number two, I think that we will be blessed by a very large wheat production in the world, and that's going to come in from, from the new, the old Soviet Union countries, for example. Australia is already gearing up for a major expansion in wheat. I think the USDA, and once again, their pencils aren't always the sharpest, Todd. They miss acreage and miss yields and miss what the farmers are really thinking out there. And my hunch is that we are going to see a little bigger wheat planted acreage than what the USDA. So wheat, if it's anything that's not used for exporting or milling, turns into a feed grain is the bottom line. So that's my point.
But, Paul, like them, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you, Paul.
Yeah, I know it.
Okay. Jackie, how do you put the pencil to these numbers? What do you see? What kind of demand? What kind of acres?
Well, one of the things that I see, of course, is if we're going to increase wheat acres, it's got to come from somewhere. So if you increase wheat acres, it comes from somewhere else. I mean, when you look at the Outlook meeting, that the numbers they gave us last week from the USDA Outlook meeting, basically they had 6 million more acres in that than what we actually planted last year. We had that same phenomenon last year. In prior years to that, like in the 98 through 2001, basically, we looked at usually about 3 million acres short. So, you know, I think that's where the perception that a lot of CRP acres are coming in. But I have clients all over, and I was just basically out into the Idaho area. They are just, they're losing potato land. They're losing alfalfa land. They're losing corn silage land to the row crops. And so where do I see it fitting in? I guess I see a little something different on the demand side of things. I see the same thing we used to do to Canada right now, Canada doing to us. And we know what's happening in the livestock market. Canada's down here. They're buying our feeder cattle. If you look at feeder cattle prices, extraordinarily high for where corn prices are. They're using our corn. They're slaughtering in our slaughtering places, and then they're shipping it back to Canada. Same thing we did when the American dollar was higher than the Canadian dollar. So when it comes to corn usage, even if we back up a little bit on ethanol, I think that we're going to pick up some of that. And I do think we saw some of that reflected in the fourth quarter feed usage when we saw $4.1 billion and everybody almost dropped dead. I think it's already happening. And from what I hear out in the countryside, it's happening. So I think, you know, we've got this push come to shove. I don't think we're going to get the acres. And I think the board is telling us that right now. They're saying, you know, not everybody's like you guys where you put on a lot of fertilizer in the fall. There's a lot of swing acres out there yet. And we're certainly seeing the people talking about, they've already got the beans bought. They're sitting on them. So,
Pete, I talked to somebody from Ohio today. They said, Ohio won't plant corn.
I don't think we'll have the acres that USDA is talking. I think the recent one I saw 90 million, and I'd be more in Zuzulo's corner at 87 to 88. If you go from here south very far, and you go from here east very far, there's an awful lot more soybeans going to be planted. If you go Interstate 70 south, a ton more wheat. I have guys where I grew up that haven't planted wheat in 10 to 15 years, planted 40% of their crop in wheat. That will all go to beans. The 60% that's left, they'll split between corn and beans. So I see more acres of beans than expected, less acres of corn than expected, and more wheat acres. So I think that long-term makes corn prices still going to hang in there. Even if we would drop back 20% now, I still think we could have very good corn prices in the fall because of lack of corn acres.
My question is, I hear you talking about not having as many acres out there as what some of the analysts are projecting. I'm also hearing to cover with puts. In what scenario do you see us using call options to cover stuff that's already been sold, since it seems like there's a lot of upside there because of this acreage?
Right. For people that have sold at $4 and at $4.50 and at $5 that wish they, like the guy that sold the beans at $8 this morning, that hadn't have done that, I would look out at $7 corn calls for either July or September or December and take a look at those. Look at 680s. Look at those to replace some of the sales that you made early that you, at the time, was a good price, but now doesn't appear to be a good price.
You know, I'd even go in, and if I was going out and protecting yourself, you know, I'd rather go into the nearby options, you know, the May options, to do that type of strategy. And I'd even protect myself if you've been a little bad and sold too many beans. This is a corn panel. Protect yourself in the corn market as well. So, you know, there is some things that you do have to do. I'm not, I don't want to roll my corn hedges or anything like into the wheat market, but that's awful brave. And he does have some good ideas on that. But I think that this is a big problem that on a one-to-one conversation today I've heard very often about, should we go back in to the market and protect ourselves? Good question.
Right, and I think, you know, when you look at it, I really think what's important is what percentage did you sell? You know, if you've got 10% sold, 20% sold, you still have 80% that's gaining. So you have to really ask yourself, do I want to go out there and do that or not? I like Pete's idea in a lot of ways because you can go out of the money on calls. If you don't want, if you want to buy something at the money, the only way you can do it right now is sell two puts against it to be able to get into it for decent money. But if you go out of the money, the volatility is wild. Why? Because just like at an auction, if it's cheap, it's really popular. And that's exactly what you see here. So, you know, sometimes you can really get a big bang for the buck in those positions.
If we look back the last 2 or 3 months, people that bought $5 calls a month and a half ago, people laughed at them. They aren't now because they have zoomed in value. We had people buy last fall $4 calls, rolled them to 450s, rolled them to 5s, rolled them to 550s, and they made 80 cents. Or they made a bunch every time. So to replace too much that you've sold, I would go to the out-of-way strike price.
Out of the money.
Out of the money.
Mike, let's talk a little bit about crop insurance, and you can tell me which area you deal with at this point, and I mean probably geographically because I think it's probably different in parts of Illinois than Indiana and Ohio and certainly than in Iowa. What kind of crop insurance might you suggest they take a look at, and then how do they incorporate other risk management tools with it?
The difference between RA and the GRIP in terms of price has really come together this year. And I think farmers that have good yields and have good records probably have not looked at RA in the past because of the price difference. But I think this year you might want to take a look at that. I think farmers are quite surprised what an 80% or 85% RA policy costs versus, say, a 90% GRIP policy. The other thing would be is based upon what policy you take. If you take an RA and you've got that natural harvest option with the RA, then you can go ahead and have your fall price recalculated. And so that can be like a call position there. And if you take an RA policy, I guess what I've been saying to individuals is if you're going to put that kind of money on an 80% RA policy, maybe look at not doing the calls right away. Maybe look instead at getting the puts bought for the balance of what your crop insurance doesn't cover, because that covers the base of not forward selling too aggressively. And if you do have good yields this year, you've got a floor underneath your price.
Any questions out here? Ken Smith, how are you dealing with the cash market for 08, 09 on corn?
Definitely in the nearby, we've seen probably historically weak basis levels with the higher CBOT prices. Corn has moved relatively freely. At some time that movement will slow down. Certainly the purchases that we've been seeing, average purchase size has been decreasing. And we're certainly seasonally getting that April-May period as guys head to the fields where we expect a seasonal increase in basis. And the other factor we have is we have several new ethanol players in the market that are not well bought into this market. So as this movement slows down, really expect them to have some really fractionalized basis across the country, especially in areas where we have new ethanol plants. I do think that the domestic feeder is buying hand-to-mouth. So as soon as we see this cash movement slow down, really kind of expect an increase in corn basis in the next few months. Expect relatively weak new crop basis levels because of the high Chicago Board of Trade prices, elevators, and have to take higher margins. So do expect that to persist.
Cooley wants to know how many of you think we'll see a $6 corn price for new crop corn. Okay. Jackie, why don't you talk a little bit about basis for me before bed?
Well, I listened to Dan Bozzi talk about how bad basis was everywhere. And so I took a little survey during lunch, and I said, what's the going basis right here, right now for December corn? And we came pretty much out to an average of about 50 under. Some people were 60, some people were 40, so 50 under. And then I went and I asked, okay, so when corn was $2 or $2.50, what'd you have for a basis at that point in time? They said about 20, 25 under. Well, let's look at it in a different way. And when this is what I talk about, perception. We perceive this to be a poor base. But when you look at 50 cents versus $5.70 corn, you're talking about 9% of the value of a bushel of corn. When you look at 25 cents on a $2 bushel of corn, that's 12.5% of the value of that bushel. or 25% on a 250 is 10%. Is this really a bad basis? You know, we are in such a changing marketplace that we have to look at things so differently from anything we've ever done before. And so when you're feeling bad about basis, I think your trigger for pulling the cash, we talk about doing puts, there's going to come a time when we want to, you know, when we want to sell in the cash market. We're going to do that when we start to see this basis get poorer, because that would indicate that we've gone as far as we're going to go for right now in the cash market.
Let's wrap up, because it's just about that time. Best set of advice as we head into the new crop year?
We want to be very careful on how we portray this or say this, but we really want to be 100% hedged in 08 corn and 08 beans by the end of March, and we want to do it in a smart fashion, mostly known cost, and we do want to start working on 09 hedges at this point.
Mike Zuzlow, you can hear on Friday afternoons and Friday mornings on WILL. Paul Cooley, you can hear on Wednesdays. He's with ADM Investor Services.
You know, there's a new group of farmers out there that have grain storage and are well-financed and decided that if they do fill those bins with grain, they can do their own hedging and then play the multiple-choice game with demand, pick elevator X, Y, Z, or an ethanol plant or a dry corn mill or a grain exporting firm. And this has been a horrible year to play that game. But I sense, you know, that a lot of them are very well alive and are at least optimistic that they will get the job done. They will see improvement at basis at harvest time and live through these wild times. So tip of the hat to you guys that are playing the new game, and you're always welcome to stop by Oakland, Illinois, and say hi, as well as some of these other places as well.
Thank you much, Paul. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group.
Well, of course, you know, I've talked about doing puts. So you've heard me say the word perception quite a few times today, and perception really runs the trade. You know, they perceive that it's extremely hot out, and when it rains in Chicago, the market drops off. You know, they perceive that all the corn acres are bought. They perceive this, they perceive that. You perceive things are good. I'm going to tell you a little story that really struck me, and I think it is certainly relevant to where we're at. There was a general and a young soldier from World War II coming back home, and they got on a train, sat down next to a lovely girl and her grandmother. And as they went through a tunnel, you know, it got totally dark, and you heard a very sweet kiss and then a big slap. And, you know, the general thought to himself, you know, young man, good for you. You just coming back from the war, you took the initiative and you kissed the girl. And the grandmother thought, man, that guy is fresh. He kissed my granddaughter. And the granddaughter thought, wow, am I ever flattered. He's really a handsome young man. And the young man thought, what a day. I kissed a beautiful young girl and I slapped the general at the same time. That's certainly not what your perception would have been, is it? So I think you have to be very careful about the marketplace. And we are in such a changing circumstance. You can talk to anybody. You can hear that we have differences of opinions. But you really have to be careful. It's not the same as it was before. So don't get caught up in the perception that this is good value. You know, that's just like selling 09 right now. Do you know what your input costs are going to be?
Thank you, Jackie. Boy, we're going back to the 1940s, aren't we? Let's say we've heard about Roosevelt. And Churchill. And we got slapped, and we're heading back to the 49 to the 49 Farm Bill, which goes all the way back to 36, too. Ken Smith of Climbers and the Andersons.
All right, Todd. I think I just one word would be cautious. Utilize things like safe selling. We talked about puts. We talked about crop insurance. It could be selling using call options. The markets are going to be extremely dynamic, and certainly we could tell a story of much higher prices. We can certainly tell a story of lower prices. That story will unfold soon, but we certainly think that this environment, caution needs to be exercised, and certainly safe selling is what I'd encourage.
And Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
Volatile, volatile. a dollar move up on corn, a dollar move down on corn, a dollar on 170 bushels on 1,000 acres, that's 170,000. What if it moves a dollar 50 down? We just talked about a little retracement of 80 cents a little bit ago that could happen in the next couple of weeks. Volatile. Have some traps set. Have puts in place if you need them. If you think you sold too much and we're on the up move, you can look at calls. But be safe. Think what you're doing. Have traps set out there. Take advantage of high prices. Don't let them get away from you and sell at the low whenever it comes down the road.
Give these folks a hand, please.